welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, a few weeks ago, you did a program, a somewhat controversial program, on financially assisted suicide. And after that program, we had several very passionate emails about people who had experienced that in their family, that a loved one or a friend had committed suicide after running across some very difficult financial times. And just a few days ago, we received word from a friend of the ministry with a very sad postscript on this topic.
Well, Dave, you know, we called the nation to prayer and fasting and asked anyone who wanted to join us during this season to pray and fast for our nation and the economic healing that we need to come and be a part. And we had a dear pastor ask if their entire church could join in this effort. And unbeknownst to him at that time, a member of the board of the church was in deep financial problems. And he just found out that that board member committed suicide. So it has been a very poignant, difficult time for that church to realize that these problems go beyond financial problems. Mm. Dave, I sensed that as the economy began to get worse and people had so much debt, that we were going to see more and more suicide. And, you know, I hate it every time we hear one of these stories. I especially hate what happened in the life of this church and these families who were taking part in a turning back to the Lord. But it highlights how important this issue is, that the Lord is the solution, Dave. There's no solution in the world when people lose hope. Was the government policy going to change that for this brother who got so much in despair that he took his own life over massive credit card debt? No. No, government policy is not going to change that situation. That's why we believe that the only hope is to turn to the Lord, to know He's real, to know He's there, and to reach out to Him. That's why I think we've got to repent of the humanism that controls our thinking in this country. In our seven-step solution, there is no placing hope in the government. There's no placing hope in a bailout plan. This is God's bailout. If we're going to be bailed out, it's by the Lord Himself. And I'm so sorry to hear of this story. We're going to learn more about it in the coming days and hopefully share the lessons learned from this particular church so that more and more people can watch for these signs and be there for other people in that kind of deep, deep despair.
Well, you're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. And as always, it's a pleasure to have Brian Ray with us. Brian, welcome to Money Life.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be back.
You know, we were talking in a previous broadcast about something you called the four skill sets to success in your career. And as you outlined those, I realized that we could talk about each one of those in depth, because I do think those are the skills that are required in today's competitive marketplace to really make a difference. Brian, would you just outline those four real quickly again, and then let's go through each one in depth so our listeners can learn how to really apply that to their current situation.
You bet. I'm glad to do that. Okay, so the thought is that there are four skill sets that would help you to be successful in whatever job or career you have. And the very first and arguably the most important one are skills having to do with attitude toward your job.
Well, Brian, when you said that previously, it just struck me because I have a experience growing up when I worked for my own father, and I actually enjoyed that very much. And, you know, your dad can just tell you the raw truth. And he called me in his office one day, and he said, "Son, I'm going to give you a choice. You can change your attitude or you can change jobs." And he said, "I'll tell you, it'll probably be a lot easier if you'll just change your attitude." And so that one really hit me as key. It is a key skill set. And you've unpacked that a lot further than just have a good attitude.
Yes. And the reason that I've given it so much thought is because where I see people miss the mark, even those who are particularly competent, even good in working with other people who would be highly valued, they get crossways because they let their attitude dictate their behavior in negative ways. And sometimes they don't even know it. Many times they do, but they're not quite sure, well, how do I exercise a positive attitude? So we'll just unpack the word job. And the J is for joy. And you're thinking, "Joy, I don't feel joyous." Well, what if joy was a decision you made? What if you were to consider it all joy, no matter what the trials and circumstances are? And I looked up the original Greek word on joy, and you know what it means? It means joy. A lot of times it means something other than what we translate. But it means joy, to have and experience joy. But the word before it is consider, and that's an accounting term where you actually add the checks and balances, the pluses and the minuses, and you determine, as Abraham Lincoln said, well, folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. So, therefore, the skill set is to simply add up the positives in your life, focus on that, and exercise those positives in a joyful way going forward. So number one, J for job is joy. O in the word job is for obedience. And that's kind of a, people don't think about that word and maybe don't react to it really well. That's, well, I'm not a dog. I don't want to be led around on a leash. But in fact, the scripture is very clear that we'll be obedient to our masters here on earth. And I don't know about you, but I really appreciate if I ask somebody to do something with joy, they immediately set about doing what I've asked them to do. So that's joy and obedience. And finally, to be your best. So that's joy, obedience, best in terms of working heartily as for the Lord. So you're not just working for Bill the boss or Betty the boss, you're working for the Lord, the author and perfecter of faith, the one who has given you life forever. And so once you begin to realize, ooh, there are skills having to do with my job that include joy, obedience, and being my best. Okay. Somebody like that is typically going to do way better in their job and in their career than others.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Brian. What are some examples of people that have employed these three simple changes of attitude? Have you seen it work for people?
Well, I'm thinking about a woman named Deanne who worked for me many, many years ago. And by the way, she came in as my administrative assistant in that same company. She is now vice president of human resources. And by the way, that company does over $1 billion in sales.
Wow.
And what it was, when she first came in, she made a determination that no matter how hard the job was, I think her boss was pretty good, but the job itself, no matter how hard that was, and even when she made mistakes, that she could make a decision to exercise joy and be happy about whatever it was, even if it was difficult. No question that when then I or one of the other people that we were working with asked her to do something, she immediately set about doing it, and the only time she hesitated was to clarify what needed to be done, by when, and were there any preferences in terms of how. And then finally, she continually worked to improve herself so that she was always taking certification courses, going to extra classes, learning from other people around her. And I remember when I left that job, and she was my administrative assistant, and I told her, I said, you know what, I just think you need to keep on this. I didn't know about the Joy Obedience Best at that time, but I was living it with her. I just encouraged her to keep that up. And then over the years, she just kept getting the next promotion.
Well, that very much ties into the second skill set to success in your career,
right,
which is technical skills.
Right. And the task or technical skills are things that really keep you sharp. Education always paves the way for vocation. Education always paves the way for vocation. So that whether you're in accounting or carpentry or computers or whatever your particular occupation is, learn and be the best at that. And you don't have to go back to college and get another degree to do that. You can get it through association courses. If there's a professional or trade association that has to do with your occupation, your industry, join it. Be active. Get certified. Take an additional course. Go to the monthly meetings. Go to one of the national meetings. Make friends. Build for yourself your own personal board of advisors for your career. And then help others along the way, but focus it on the skills that you need to succeed. And that's particularly true as information technology continues to revolutionize various parts of our jobs. Whether you're in computers or not is not the point. The technology impacts just about everybody in every occupation. So stay up with that as well as the latest techniques for whatever it is you've been hired to do.
Well, Brian, we've got to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the other two skills for success in your career, the people skills and the explorer skills. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back with Brian Ray.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today's guest is Brian Ray, sharing with us the four skill sets to success in your career. And you know, Brian, this next one, it sounds so simple, but people skills are vital no matter where you work.
Absolutely.
Tell us how to improve our people skills.
Well, following attitude skills and technical skills is people skills, and it's the people skills that's the lubricant to get everybody working together. And probably the number one people skill is simply communication, which is more than just talking. And in fact, it's more about listening, finding out where the other person is in their head related to whatever's on the table topic-wise, and then responding to them in a way that they would be most likely to understand and appreciate. So probably the number one people skill is communication. Right behind that is a whole package of skills related to teamwork. It's the parts of the body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies kind of thinking. It's my favorite teamwork verse in the middle of Ephesians 4 for those who are tracking. But the whole teamwork issue is figuring out how I can work well with another person with whom I really have to work. And that's paying attention to how I can help them succeed. If I get promoted and now all of a sudden I have supervisory or managerial responsibilities, I have to, quote, tell other people what to do. Well, there's a whole set of skills on how it is you interact, you lead, you manage, you encourage, you stimulate, you redirect other people. And that goes from everything from influencing and selling skills to persuade somebody to do something they might not want to do, all the way to negotiation and maybe redirection skills. So as it relates to people skills, the same places that you can get technical skills are places you can find what they call soft skills or people skills. And you'll find courses online. You'll find courses in person. I do better with when they're in person, or at least by phone or something like that. And or even the local community college often has very inexpensive, well-timed courses that are just really good in this area of how it is you work well with other people.
My experience has been that people who have bad people skills don't know it. So, Brian, how does a person recognize if they've got bad people skills?
Well, when they go to the lunchroom and they're about to sit down and everybody else stands up, that's one hint.
Okay.
Another one is where people don't respond. A lot of times you think it's their fault, but the problem is you've treated them so badly in the past, you make it tough for them to want to interact with you. So look for those clues where people are not engaging back in a way that you think is appropriate, because often it's you that's the problem, it's not them.
And this final skill is so important in today's environment.
Yes.
And you call it explorer skills. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, Brian?
Well, within the context of your career, we think of everybody who is at a crossroads in their career. They're thinking about a new job. They're thinking about a difference in their career. They're having a tough time at their current job, whatever it might be. It's at that time that they have the opportunity to explore not only how well and how much better they can do their current job, but also other alternatives, whether it's inside my current organization or somewhere else. And so there are six steps that help people walk through this crossroads to explore crossroads in their career. The first one, not surprisingly, is all about attitude. We've heard that before. Next one is to understand your aptitude. And then attitude and aptitude come together as what we call altitude, which is focusing on the marketplace, taking what I do best with my positive attitude, and then finding the right kind of alternatives or options or opportunities for me. And now that you've done those first three, attitude, aptitude, altitude, then you're ready for searching for opportunities, sorting by evaluating and interviewing, and then selecting whatever work God has prepared for you. Because whether you're on your current job or you're making a transition to another job or even another career, more important than anything is continually hearing and following God's calling. And He's always calling us, not just in a relationship with Him, but also to follow Him wherever He wants.
And speak to that, Brian. For people who have been discouraged, they've tried a lot of these steps, they've maybe employed everything they know to do to try to find employment. Tell us, how do they call upon God? How do they seek God's favor in this process?
There is one verse that it's not the most important verse in the entire Bible, but it is a portal into prayer over this whole issue. It's Ephesians 2:10, and the version that I use the most would say, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That is such a stunning verse, one verse, four phrases. We're God's workmanship. He made us, not just as things, but as masterpieces. Next, He created us in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. Not just at work, but it includes our whole lives, including work. And then the most stunning couple of phrases of all is, by the way, He prepared these good works in advance. Why? That we might walk in them. And if I were to pray that every day so that I would be alert and obedient, accepting to be a good steward of what He does give me, not worry about what He doesn't give me, because I don't have to be a good steward of what He doesn't give me.
Well, that is good news, Brian, and I thank you for sharing those four skill sets with us today on Money Life.
Thank you so very much.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, Brian's information today was so helpful and certainly gave us a lot to think about. But I'm wondering, for those folks that are without a job, that are fearful about the future, are there some things that we can do that can keep us from having that fear of the unknown?
Well, I loved what Brian said today, and I think it was really so helpful, spot on. He is just, I mean, Brian has been in this business for years and years and years at very high levels, and you can truly rely upon his advice. It's godly, it's tested, and it's practical. But Dave, no matter what advice you go out there with into the marketplace, nobody knows the future, and therefore it seems like a big black hole. How are you going to get connected to the next job that you need? Maybe you've been a specialist. Maybe you've specialized in a certain area and you think that job is not going to be available for me. Maybe you haven't ever specialized and you're a generalist and you're worried that the whole category or section of work that you've been in before is going to go away. Either way, what's happening is that the enemy of your soul is lying to you. And that when the enemy lies to you, he usually says this: God doesn't love you. The greatest lie that the enemy uses to create fear is you don't know the future, and the God who says he loves you is not going to be with you to walk you through that future. That's why I love what Corrie Ten Boom said, and she had such incredible credibility, having suffered through being in a concentration camp through World War II, that it is not hard to trust a known God with an unknown future. It's not hard. Because what she knew was that God loved her, and there was nothing that could separate her from God's love, even death. So why should we fear? What can man do to me? And it reminds me of this verse, that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. God is not punishing you. God wants you to be successful in finding that next job, no matter what skills you have or what skills you don't have. Trust God. You know, Dave, one of the ways you truly walk by faith is to stop fearing. In other words, the antidote to fear is faith. Faith. And it's truly saying, I cannot see into the future. I don't know where this job is going to come from, but Lord, you do. And will you lead me there? I will trust you. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to work. I'm going to get out there and show courage. I'm going to get out there and knock on the doors. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to mail the letters. But I'm going to walk by faith, knowing that you love me and you have my best interest at heart.
Well, for more good information and helpful counsel, go to crown.org and click on the Hope, Help, and Insight banner, and you'll be directed to a new feature on our website that we trust will be very helpful for you. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks for listening to this edition of Money Life.